Today we celebrate the solemnity of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Eucharist. The Second Vatican Council taught that the Holy Eucharist is the source and summit of our spiritual lives as Catholics. The Catechism teaches that the Holy Eucharist is the premier sacrament, and all the sacraments point towards it because this is the sacrament of Christ himself. So we ponder this great gift. You may recall that over the past several weeks we've had very special solemnities, and they're all linked to the Holy Eucharist. At Easter, we remembered how our Lord rose from the dead. He conquered suffering, death, sin, evil itself. The Eucharist is intimately linked also to the Ascension, where our Lord ascended back to his Heavenly Father, thereby transcending time and space, so that he could be with each of us every moment, ever present in our lives, and has prepared then also a place in heaven. This is intimately connected too with Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. Through the Holy Spirit, the sacraments work. And then last week, recall how we celebrated the feast, the solemnity of the Holy Trinity. God is love, and God also is a relationship in love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because of this, God has poured forth his love through our Savior, especially, so that we could love him. Just as we have a relationship with each other, God has offered us a relationship of love. All of this is connected then intimately with the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. So let's ponder this great mystery. We take our minds back to the Last Supper. There Jesus instituted the Eucharist. He took bread and wine. He said, "This is my body, this is my blood," with the same efficacious words by which he could command a crippled man to walk, or cure a blind man, or change water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana, or multiply loaves and fish to feed over 5,000, or raise Lazarus from the dead. With the same efficacious words, our Lord miraculously was sharing his life, his body, blood, soul, and divinity with his apostles. Therefore, the gospel passage we just heard, which was taught shortly before the Last Supper, rings true. Jesus said, "I am the living bread come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, my blood real drink." Without knowing who our Lord is, without believing in miracles, these words would cause confusion, as we hear also in the gospel. But this is what our Lord taught. This is what happened at the Last Supper. He miraculously is sharing, under this appearance of bread and wine, his very life, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Never forget, at the Last Supper, our Lord also instituted the priesthood. He says to the apostles, "Do this in remembrance of me." So ever since that time, this is what we've believed. This is what we've done. This is why we're here this morning. Each time we offer Mass, we are entering into the very mystery of our Lord, his saving action. All those special celebrations that I briefly highlighted, it all happens. What we do here isn't just a memory of something that happened in the year 33 A.D. No, it's a living reality. Just like we say, "Jesus died to forgive my sins." Well, we weren't there in 33 A.D. But what he did lives on. It has a timeless value. So we're here to enter into an everlasting, ever-present, saving action of our Lord. We are nourished. So first of all, we're nourished by the words of sacred Scripture, God's living, truth, perfectly revealed by our Lord, continued to be taught through the saving action of the Holy Spirit. But then we offer the Mass. So the priest offers the sacrifice that participates in the everlasting, ever-present reality of our Lord's passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. The priest takes the bread and the wine. He says the words of Jesus, the words of consecration. Christ is really speaking through him. With those same efficacious words, that bread and wine, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is transubstantiated into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. So the characteristics, color, size, shape, smell, taste, and so on, those don't change. But the what it is does. The substance changes. Hence transubstantiation. So we aren't receiving blessed bread. We aren't receiving simply a symbol. We're receiving Christ. And for that reason, after communion, we reserve the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. Christ is truly sacramentally present to us. So think of this great gift, my brothers and sisters. When you and I receive Holy Communion, we are entering into the love relationship with the Holy Trinity. We're being filled, nourished with sanctifying grace. We're being brought into a communion with each other as a church. As St. Paul says, we are made one body, one spirit in Christ. We're also nourished, just like the pilgrims of the Exodus were nourished with manna on the way to the promised land. We are nourished with the Eucharist, which gives us the foretaste of heaven, gives us the strength we need to attain heaven, gives us the strengthening of virtues that we need. What a tremendous gift. So we ponder this gift this day. We guard this gift, and we want to hand on this gift to our children especially. So this has a special challenge then for Father's Day. So you moms had your day in May, so we have Father's Day. And very appropriate given this feast day. Think of St. Joseph. St. Joseph was entrusted with the custody of the most precious gift of God, our Savior. So Joseph was that righteous, just, and holy man, a carpenter, the beloved spouse of our Blessed Mother, the devoted foster father. But think how he guarded Jesus. So St. Joseph, yes, provided the home, and he worked to provide for his family. But as that spiritual father and head of the household, he's the one who raised Jesus spiritually. He's the one who led the family in prayer. Every evening, in the morning, grace before meals. He made sure they went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. He took the family to Jerusalem for those special events like Passover. He's the one who taught Jesus how to read and write so he could read the Torah. Saint Joseph was the guardian of our Savior, and therefore we can say he's the guardian of the Holy Eucharist. So you fathers here have to remember, you're called to be the Saint Joseph in your family, to be that spiritual leader, that spiritual head of the household. Yes, you and your wife provide a home for your children. That's beautiful. But you have that special role. That role particularly is important spiritually, to guard the faith for your children, to guard their souls. You need to protect your home from the outside forces of evil. You need to guard the souls of their children by nourishing them so they can live the faith. So as St. Joseph led the family in prayer, you lead the family in prayer, especially like grace at meals. As St. Joseph taught little Jesus the Torah, you teach your children life. Teach them the faith. When your children especially are older, you have to teach them about moral issues, especially in our world. Moral issues about the dignity of the person, human sexuality, and marriage. How else does a son learn how to be a man and treat a woman? How else does a woman learn what it is to be treated by a man? We need Saint Joseph. Has Saint Joseph made sure the family worshiped? You make sure the family worships every Sunday. I think of my own father. Now, my father was of German descent, maybe worse yet, Prussian. So he also was a scientist. So very reserved in many ways and very strict in many ways, too. But nevertheless, very devout in a quiet way. For instance, he always made the sign of the cross very reverently. And when we passed a church, even, he made the sign of the cross. During mealtime, he always led us in grace. And on the special holidays like Christmas or Easter, always added some kind of a special prayer for the family and the like. When we were at Mass, he always made sure we came to Mass, along with my mom. And he's the one who made sure my brother and I dressed up for Mass. He was very devout in the sense of having his hands folded. But one thing that I remember particularly, and this is even before my time of First Holy Communion, is that we were at St. Bernadette's, and back then we had our gym church. So it was crowded, and my brother, my father, myself were standing on the side. My mom had a seat in the pew. But when it came time for the consecration, he knelt down and he said, "Boys, kneel down." And I asked him why. And he said, "Because it's the consecration." That stuck with me. And after receiving communion, my father would always have his hands folded with his head bowed, his eyes shut. And oftentimes he even had his head in his hands. So little things that taught great reverence and respect for this great gift and how important our faith is. So fathers, look to that example of Saint Joseph. You are needed to guard Christ and to guard Christ in your home and in the lives of your children. Now with that, I ask all the fathers to please stand for the special Father's Day blessing.